Hey, what's going on, guys? This is the Leafs Convo for Oak Ridge Ford in London, Ontario. OakRidgeFord.com. What a 2023 it's been for vehicle sales, and I owe you guys a debt of gratitude. Thank you so much for supporting me on the ground in the car business. It's not always easy, but you've made it that much easier, and I really do appreciate it very much. OakRidgeFord.com is where you're going to find your next car. You think that the deals were good in December? That's okay. In January 2024, they're going to be off the charts because Ford has to clear the ground for 24s coming in. OakRidgeFord.com, at Norm at OakRidgeFord on Instagram. Happy New Year. It's the 31st of 2023 going into 2024. The Maple Leafs on a three-game losing streak to wrap up this the year, not necessarily the season, but who knows? This may be reflective of what's to come. Mr. Augello, good to see you this morning. I hope you've got some festivities planned for tonight. Before we get started, just want to go into the community portion of the YouTube channel, youtube.com/TheLeafsConvo/community. So last night after they lose to the Carolina Hurricanes, Sebastian Aho, amazing by the way right now, my expression was UGH. UGH. Mm-hmm. And Bao Howley said golf season is coming. Corey Trevor 5649, Marner LOL, good grief. And then kind of just summarizing my feeling and, you know, maybe getting me to wonder why I do feel this way about a team that leaves a lot to be desired. Peter CP Rail 8748. Why are you so disappointed? He asked. We know what this team is, a whole bunch of meaningful nothing. Now that might be a little extreme, but Peter CP Rail onto something. Michael, the floor is yours. Good morning.
Good morning. Well, it's funny because I wrote yesterday while I was at the Sabres Columbus game. I write a monthly column for Full Press Hockey, and I do like a wrap up of each division. Mm-hmm. And I have, you know, the best success of the month, the biggest disappointment, the player of the month, and what I call the Dennis Green Award, which is they are who we thought they were, which is his famous rant when he was, I think he was coach of the Arizona Cardinals. The Toronto Maple Leafs are who that we thought they mm-hmm. were, which is a flawed team. They were a flawed team over the last few years. They have plugged holes and traded draft picks and traded prospects to plug those holes, but they have not been permanent solutions. And the reason that they're not permanent solutions is because they're spending half of their salary cap on four forwards. But we've covered that territory.
And there's $11 million going into Nylander's pocket. In the
right. If the rumors that are, you know, out there are true. But this is the, you know, okay, so teams weather injuries. They get through them. Good teams get through them. Tampa Bay, mm-hmm. they kept their head above water while Vasilevsky was out for 2.5 months after having back surgery. They're right now in a wild card spot, at least as of last night.
And Kucherov's playing like a man on
fire. And Kucherov is playing at an MVP level.
Right.
The Florida Panthers make a cup run. They lose Aaron Ekblad and Brandon Montour, their two best defensemen. They stockpile their blue line with a bunch of hole pluggers, 5-6 defensemen, and they get through the first couple months. Ekblad and Montour come back, mm-hmm. and now they're climbing the ladder in the Atlantic Division. Now, I give full credit to Simon Benoit and William Lagesson plugging the hole while Liljegren and Giordano were out. So they did a competent job. But the difference with the Leafs is once the injury happened to Joseph Woll, the goaltending has been exposed. And the Ilya Samsonov that we're seeing right now is not the Ilya Samsonov we saw last year. If you remember, I think his save percentage was .918, something like that. He got them through the year after Matt Murray got hurt. He got them through the first round. Then he got hurt in the second round and Woll came in. But he was a good goaltender.
Yeah.
And a lot of people were saying, sign him to a long-term contract. And one thing I'll give Brad Treliving in terms of the decision-making that he made coming right in was he went to arbitration with Samsonov and he signed him to a one-year deal. God forbid, this would have been Jack Campbell 2.0.
Why did he do that?
Because I think he doesn't, you know, he basically said it was a prove it deal. It's like, okay.
He couldn't have foreseen the way he's playing right now.
Well, no, you don't, but you also can't reward somebody who's had a history of being performingly unstable. He has one good year and you're going to reward him. No, it's like, okay, you do another good year. You put up stats like you did last year. You play stable like you did last year, and we'll reward you with a long-term deal. That may not have even been the case. They may believe that Joseph Wall is the number one. I know Elliot Friedman said that a bunch of times. I believe that he should be the number one because I think he's got that kind of pedigree. But they said, prove it. And maybe one of the reasons that Samsonov is folding is that right now he's costing himself millions of dollars by the way he's playing. He is playing abysmal, and we'll talk more about what he's done over the last few games, but they cannot trust him anymore. Right. They cannot play him anymore right now.
Rough. That is rough. This is the Leafs Combo for Oak Ridge Ford in London, Ontario, oakridgeford.com. Like the content, subscribe to the channel. Old Dog Chung is here, and he's not too happy. Why would you bench Camp for Holmberg? Sheldon Keefe needs to go. Geo needs to be a bench coach. And here's Old Dog Chung. The Leafs are better with Lagesson and Benoit in the lineup. Mike, quick comment on that. Oh, by the way, Mark Benjamin. Happy New Year's, gentlemen. Hopefully 24 means a little more stability with the hockey club. Jeez, the way that 2023 wrapped up, I don't think the beginning of 2024 is going to be any different. Ilya Samsonov, Mike, you mentioned that he has a broken psyche.
Yeah.
No doubt. I mean, I don't even know if a psychiatrist, the psychologist, a Jedi could help get this guy, get his mind right. And, considering the Leafs are, what, third in the division right now, they're still like a plus 10, plus 11. They win, they lose, they look okay, they really disappoint. When you factor in the problem between the pipe for this group, Joseph Woll, your young number one that really hasn't proven anything, is out. You've got Martin Jones just patching holes. And Ilya Samsonov, who is giving up more than a goal per game, goals against average-wise, than his career numbers represent. I mean, he's 3.94 goals against average in 23-24. He's a 2.77 for his career. Maybe we should just, I wouldn't say be satisfied with where the Leafs are, but, you know, the expectations of these lofty goals being met, how the hell do you reach them when there's so much turmoil going on with the club? And I'm not necessarily saying, you know, social or emotional turmoil, but with this group really not being able to nail itself down as a solidified, bonafide contender with the right people in place. It's a revolving door back there. And to make matters worse, you have a defensive group that is on the verge of collapse most nights.
Well, I'll address the camp thing in a bit, but right. Let's stick with the goaltending. Samsonov has been bad from the drop. Remember, his first game was the 5 goals against the Habs, who are not a good team. It was easier to quantify the number of good starts he's had rather than the number of bad ones. Now, he has given up 5 goals against Buffalo, 6 goals against Columbus, and 6 goals against Columbus again. Those are two of the worst teams in the NHL, and he gave up 17 goals against them. So, you know, that is not. Now he
but
is.
Mike, it's not all on him. We know.
No, it's not. It's not all on him, Norm. You're right, but he is the last line of defense, and when he, you know, you could say against Columbus, the most recent Columbus game, the first goal was a Liljegren giveaway behind the net, and it went out to the slot, and you know it beat Samsonov. Like, I think he needs to make that save, but he didn't. But if you talk about the remaining 5 goals, 3 of them were on him. They were complete flubs. And with each bad goal, his confidence goes down more and more. And this is the thing. They gave him the Christmas break, said, you know, spend Christmas with your family, you know, get away, you know, sort of, you know, take a break, come back refreshed. We're going to set you up to play against the team that you should have beat Toronto a couple of weeks 4. And what does he do? He costs them another point. Now, you could say, well, they played Columbus 3 times, and they got 4 of a possible 6 points. And that's like winning twice and losing once. Okay, and Columbus is not in a race with them for a playoff spot. But that was 6 points on your dole, and you got 4 of them when you should have had 6. So he cost them 2 points. He cost them 2 points in Buffalo. And as soon as he gave up that goal, that second goal, his confidence went, and then they had to pull him after Tage Thompson scored the goal. He cannot be allowed to play a game right now.
OG's Converts, what say you? Going back to that 6-5 overtime loss to the Blue Jackets, the Leafs with 33 shots. Ilya Samsonov gives up that many goals on 21 shots again. Yep. That is absolutely rough. You could put Sebastian Santoma in net for the Maple Leafs. Wow. If you have the right defensive core and a defensive-minded system, he'll suffice. Or you could put Carey Price prime, Eddie Belfour prime between the pipes, have the guys you have now, and you'll get through. But you need one or the other. You need a bona fide goalie who's ready to face the rubber and who's game for it and who isn't having psychological problems. Or you need a defensive-minded system surrounding a goaltender who might be inept most times, but you empower because you're there to support him. Well, not right. Nothing's right, Mike, at this point. And I wouldn't say the future is completely bleak, but how does it change? You need Ilya Samsonov as a body to be there.
Well,
Martin Jones was expecting to, you know, play in the minors or, you know, come up a game here and there. Now he's central to the Leafs' hopes and dreams, starting in the right way in this 2024 portion of the campaign. Mike, it's borderline bizarre right now, Mike.
I'll be sarcastic and slightly insensitive at the same time by saying, Dunk Wilson could do a better job than Ilya Samsonov right now. He died a couple months ago. Vincent Tremblay or Peter Ng. I mean, you know, we can go through the laundry list of bad goaltenders. The problem is that Ilya Samsonov actually has ability. It's just right now, like, you know, apparently this was the problem in Washington, that his highs were too high and his lows were too low. And now, you know, I think he's down on himself. And I mean, this is the overriding issue right now. We can talk about Marner a second. We can talk about Camp. We can talk about their giveaways. We can talk about their defensive problems. In the end, if they don't have at least competent goaltending, they're not going to win anything. They can score as many. They scored 5 goals against Columbus, and they lost both games. They scored 5 goals twice. They scored 5 goals against Montreal and had to win in overtime. This is not just one bad performance. This is not everybody jumping off. This is not overreaction. He started 15 games. In 8 of them, he's given up 4 or more. You know, it's like, I mean, my buddy Steve Dangle after the game on Friday, I thought he was going to have a stroke. And you know what? I think that reflects a lot of what is going on with the fan base right now. Because, I mean, if this team, Austin Matthews scored 15 goals in December, he's probably going to be player of the month. And if you look at the standings right now, Norm, they're 1 point out of falling out of a playoff spot.
Yeah, speaking of the standings, 17 wins, 10 losses, 7 loser points. Guys, make no mistake about it. This team is a .500 hockey team. And that's okay. But don't tell me that they're 7 games above .500. They've lost 17 times. Just so happened they got points in 7 of those losses, which is beneficial to them, right? And again, forget the standings for me right now, other than identifying your position and the peril that you've put yourself in. Sure, you might be out of a playoff spot, but, you know, I also don't want to emphasize that to the same degree as I'm not wanting to highlight that they're 2 points out of first place. At this point, you're really cultivating and trying to get yourself in motion and trying to build some momentum and some some positivity and some confidence going forward. The Leafs can't do any of it right now, Mike. As you've mentioned, they've done what they've done, which we expected them to do, and that's just set the world on fire offensively, led by one of the best goal scorers of this generation, Austin Matthews, having another career kind of year when it comes to putting the biscuit in the basket. But everything else is suspect right now, Mike. Mr. Captain 93, has Marner's time passed in Toronto? His play has plateaued and fans are turning on him. Should he be moved? Yeah, just quick one.
Okay.
Just trade him. Dip, done.
I mean, I puzzle at the all of a sudden vehement hatred that's out there. It's like the disdain of William Nylander has now, it's got to be one or the other. We've discussed the whole Marner-Nylander dynamic. I mean, yeah, let's trade somebody who's got averaging over a point per game and has 14 goals. Let's do that right now. Let's do it. Yeah. He's a really good player. First of all, the other thing, he's got a no movement clause. So if he doesn't want to go anywhere, he could tell the organization to go F themselves. I'm not going anywhere. He's a year away from unrestricted free agency. Do you think he wants to? The only way he goes somewhere in the offseason is if he gets traded to a team that's going to give him an 8-year deal and Toronto says, we're not going to give it to you. That's why the whole situation with the contracts and Nylander and how much they pay them is front and center of the problem with the organization, not because Nylander is not a good player, but because you're paying four guys next year over $11 million. And you have to field a team, not four players. If it was a four-player league, this would be great.
He's an $8 million player. That's just totally irrelevant, Spike 11.
Right.
Irrelevant. None of that makes any sense right now. He's paid what he's being paid. Mike, sorry to interrupt you. Look, Marner is having an inconsistent kind of season. You'd like to see 2-3 points from him, you know, every 2-3 games. And then, he's at a point per game pace right now, but you think he should be doing better where he is at in his career. And, you know, we talk about evolving. We're always going on about William Nylander adding more to his game so he can be a more complete player. Finally, he's there, at least to this point, right? Marner, on the other hand, seems like I wouldn't say he's lost the step, but I mean, he's struggling a little bit. However, considering the vitriol that this guy faces on a daily basis, just because he's, you know, the Messiah is having a career year, Marner could be, you know, playing at a 2 point per game pace, and he would still be disliked, right? Especially when he's giving pucks away and he's running ragged. And again, you can't say that this season looks like a season that's better than anything he's put on ice in the past. So that doesn't lend a support for Marner. And then that's exacerbated by the fact that the yin to his yang is having a career year. So all the people are coming out to say, look, we got to get rid of this guy. You can't get rid of anybody right now. OG's Converts. Who are you going to get rid of? You can't get rid of anybody. This is the crew. And as of today, December 31st, 2023, this is our team. Love them or hate them. This is the group. Come the offseason, they're going to most likely and hopefully be changes. But as of today, love them or hate them, loathe them or love them, this is the group. Michael?
Okay, so O-Dog Chung was asking about the Kampf benching. I think it was less about Kampf and more about the rest of the team. Kampf was -1 against Columbus. He didn't have any giveaways statistically. Didn't have any giveaways. I didn't notice him standing out as being overly bad defensively. He's a fourth line center right now. Now, you could have debated whether you should have signed him to a 4-year contract for over $2 million. I don't think it's bad money. He's a decent faceoff guy, penalty killer. I think that Keefe was trying to send a message to the rest of the team that, okay, this is one of our better defensive guys, and I'm going to bench him because of the way that this team is playing right now. And that now you could say that that's the act of a desperate coach. Right. Well, right now, honestly, there's a need for desperation. If you haven't looked, folks, okay, the last 6 games, Rangers, regulation loss. Buffalo, regulation loss. They beat one of the worst teams in the NHL 4-1, Columbus, in Columbus before the break. Lost to Ottawa, overtime loss to Columbus, loss to Carolina. Last time I looked, guys, that's five of the last six games that they've lost. There is cause for a little bit of desperation. And if you look at the situation in goal, like I said, you're starting Martin Jones in every key game. And Martin Jones wasn't good enough to make your team out of training camp. So now, because Joseph Wall's out and probably until the All-Star break, you've got a month that you've got to navigate with Martin Jones as your goalie. And if you're lucky, you come out of that month still in a playoff spot. And I don't know whether they will.
Right. So the Leafs don't have competent goaltending. Goaltending, certainly not that's capable of taking you on a deep playoff run. The defense is suspect, but here we are shitting on Mitch Marner, right? Mastodakis. Marner is not a playoff performer. It hasn't looked the greatest in the last few playoffs. Jeff Size. Marner is an immature player. He always has been. And our friend O-Dog Chung. Well, bench Marner if you want to send a message.
Okay.
So yeah. so let me ask the OGs and converts. Mm-hmm. What do you want to bench Marner for? Your complete disdain for the man? Just to watch him sit there and do fuck all?
Well,
or do you want to bench him and get him going?
I saw the criticism of they bench Kampf for what he did against Columbus, which was probably not much. But they did not bench Marner because of through the leg pass he made against Buffalo that cost them a goal at the end of the first period.
Right.
Excuse me. Do people realize that star players and non-star players have different rules? Because right. Marner is a star player. He was third in the Selke last year, which is, by the way, folks, best defensive forward. He kills penalties. He scores.
Yeah, okay.
He's one of the best wingers in the right. league.
He's not having the best year of his career. And it just again, it flames the vitriol. It flames the hatred for the guy. He's not doing himself any favors. But you cannot tell me that on a team that is leaving so much to be desired that it's number 16's fault that the Leafs are in this predicament. Come on, give me a break. But again, a lot of the OGs and converts are saying to make a statement, you don't bench a mid-level guy or a third or fourth line kind of guy. You bench one of the marquee players. Well, guess what? Mitch Marner has as many detractors as he has people who support him. So he's the guy everyone would like to see benched. My question to the OGs and converts who are anti-Marner, why do you want that? Because you are yearn to see somebody suffer? Or are you thinking, look, this guy needs his ass pinned to the bench until he gets his shit together. And if he does, great, we're back on site. I'd love to know that OGs and converts, instead of shit going on about how much money he makes compared to what he should be making, you can't do anything about that. I don't want to get all crazy and wild on New Year's Eve. There's nothing you can do about that right now. None of that matters. He's not going to rescind, a major chunk of his salary just to appease you.
Yeah.
Everybody's overpaid. How do we fix this? How do we get Marner into a position where he's leading this group among, the Nylanders and the Matthews and making it a little bit easier for the staff to figure out how to fix the things that ail them on the defensive end of things. And I don't know, come up with some magic when it comes to how things are transpiring between the pipes. Mike, last couple comments to you and we'll get out of here.
Yeah. I don't think it suits a purpose to unless we've seen Nylander be benched in previous years. If Marner makes a bad defensive giveaway, I don't think it's above Keefe to say sit down for a while.
100%. But do it.
But there is accountability there. But right now, this team needs to score goals, and he's one of your main offensive weapons. I mean, my issue right now is in the here and the now. I mean, they can maybe straighten out some of the defensive problems in terms of adding a blue liner here or there before the deadline. But the here and the now over the next month is where do they get goaltending? Because according to what is being reported, I heard through Elliot Friedman, he reported on his podcast a couple days ago, that he had talked to a league GM and that the prices for goaltending out there were essentially extortion. Now, if that's the case, and the Leafs have limited assets because of a lot of the deals they made over the last couple of years, remember, they don't have a second round pick for the next 3 years. They don't have a first round pick after in 2025. They're not going to trade guys like Easton Cowan or Fraser Minton. So right. that limits your options. So if, you know, if that's the case, then, you know, I mean, it sounds like it's been reported. And I had heard that the possibility even last week when I went up for the Marlies game on Boxing Day, Dennis Hildeby didn't play. And they were saying, well, they're not going to call him up because he's only played 15 AHL games. Well, Samsonov is so screwed in the head right now yeah. that they may call up Hildeby just to go on the road trip with the team and yep. play one game in Anaheim yep. and hope that he can provide them at least stable enough goaltending. And then, you know, maybe with a week off, Samsonov can get his head straight. But right now, I mean, they're going to have to rest the weight on the shoulders of Martin Jones for the next month. And that's a scary proposition.
Michael Mathieu just woke up on his yacht. Hey, Mike, you missed it. We've been talking about your buddy, Mitch Marner. We know where Mr. Evan M. Lies in terms of the debate of pro or anti-Marner. And it's certainly anti. We have 84 Cole R. Marner is too soft in the playoffs. I'm not disagreeing with that. Macedakis, Marner takes up cap space. Two above average players, that's the issue. Okay, we can talk about that. But how does that apply to today? What is he going to be dealt at the deadline? You're going to bring in your two above average players and everything's going to be hunky-dory and this team's going to ride off into a Stanley Cup sunset? Come on, guys. These are discussions for the offseason, right? We can lament them and be pissed off about them. And they can chew up our day psychologically, but there's nothing you can do about it. Some of the comments, I think O-Dog Chung and there's a few others who would like to see Sheldon Keefe fired. How the hell does a change of coach change the dilemma between the pipes? How does a change of leadership behind the bench change the lackluster group, ragtag motley crew you have playing defense for this organization? Tell me that.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Like, I don't think that Sheldon Keefe is, well, he was given an extension. It was a one-year extension. Do I think he's safe that, like, if they lose 10 games in a row that he's not going to get fired? No, I think, you know, Brad Treliving is a new general manager, and the first thing that happens with a new general manager if the team goes bad right. is fire the coach.
Right.
So, do I think Sheldon Keefe is long for this world? No, I think if they make the playoffs this year, he's not getting fired. If they lose in the first round, he's not getting fired because this team is flawed. Mm. They are flawed. It's like, and it's tough. It is tough.
Spike Levin is so good. He's just on fire.
Yeah, he won a Calder Cup. I mean, it's really honestly. I mean, I understand the fickleness of fans. I do because I am one and was one. But now you have to think about what's going on right now. Now, Sheldon Keefe was hired by Kyle Dubas. He's been around for 6 years. You can say, okay, maybe the players have started to tune him out, but
these guys don't have the pedigree to tune anybody out. Jesus. Well, I mean, I can see how you tune out Mike Babcock or John Tortorella. I mean, like, I, again, though, just making a change for the sake of change, go ahead and do it. I don't know what it changes. Like, let's trade Marner because we just don't like the guy. Let's deal Sheldon Keefe. Or sorry, let's fire Sheldon Keefe because, again, the players are tuning him out. Gio, let's make him a bench coach because he's too old. So you bring back players from Marner, get a new head coach, and you remove an old bugger from the defensive core. I mean, unless you're bringing back Nick Lidstrom and Scott Stevens and, you know, Felix Potvin Prime, for now, nothing's going to change. Like Pat Burns behind the bench. Like there's no way that this group wins a Stanley Cup. I mean, it's good. The team's gonna have to catch lightning in a bottle and do something that no one would ever believe that could, right? Based on the fact that you are so front loaded and everything behind the center line is suspect. No goalie, no leadership on defense. It's hanging by a thread that group's capability to do anything. And we're putting our ire and our angst and our anger towards, you know, one of the top scoring forwards in the league the last 7 years.
Yeah.
Because we just have a dislike for the guy. I get it. Maybe he'll be traded at another point. But where we sit today, how can we amend this? How can this team be amended to help itself now and get itself righted and in consistent position to do something in the playoffs? Last word to you officially, Mike, and we're done for 2023.
Okay. Here's a lesson for Leafs fans. At the end of last year, who was the player that they most wanted to say, adios, enjoy, go someplace else and get your money? That was Michael Bunting.
Right.
What did Michael Bunting do last night?
He scored
against the Leafs. He's got 25 points this year. He's doing pretty well. You know, he's been up and down with them, but he's doing pretty well. Do you think that this team misses the sort of spark that Michael Bunting still draws penalties. He's still a target of officials. I think this team misses a guy like, you know, would they rather have spent $3.5 million or whatever on Michael Bunting or $5.5 million on Tyler Bertuzzi, who sometimes doesn't show up? I mean, that's, you know, be careful what you wish for, fans, because you'll get it and then you regret it. And maybe there are some fans that say, oh, Michael Bunting sucks. But there are some fans who believe Michael Bunting was a good part of this team and they miss him.
Right. I know appearances can be deceiving, but it always feels like ex-Leafs are somewhere better. They end up somewhere better. Mike V, I wouldn't trade Marner out of spite, but because of his trade value. 100%. I mean, that should be considered. But that is not something that's not a trigger that can be pulled that easily. Right. This is going to take some thought. And again, as much as we hate the guy, we still have to present him as having value to the point where it makes sense for the other organization is involved in this transaction to relinquish, you know, their rights to players that they think could do something for them in order to get Marner. Right. And again, fans, fanatics, we're fickle. These aren't the best of times in terms of, you know, how we're viewing this team and what we believe this team is capable of. But you know what? A new year is coming here in the next 12 hours or so. And hey, we'll move on to 2024. And, you know, internally, we're all positive, guys. You know that we wouldn't be fans if we're anything but. Mr. Augello, how are you going to close out the rest of the year?
Unsure at this point. There may be a party, but I plan on being at home by midnight because I don't like being on the road late at night.
Yeah, 100%. OG's Conference, if you're staying in, you're like Mike and myself. If you're going out, please have a great time, but more importantly, be safe. Get your asses home, into bed, and if you got a bit of a hangover, lots of water. And then 24, we'll get at it. The Leafs are on the West Coast to get started in kind of what we consider kind of the non-official second half of the season. And, you know, maybe getting out of the confines of Scotiabank Arena is going to be good for them, Mike. Start fresh, thousands of miles away from your home ice. Beat up on some teams you should beat and maybe surprise a few along the way. And, again, I don't think it's going to change the plight between the pipes and what we're dealing with on defense and, you know, the kind of the merry-go-round of love and hate with the offensive group. But that's life, supporting this godforsaken hockey team. Mr. Augello, thank you so much for everything in 23. I'll see you next year. OG's Conference, like the content, subscribe to the channel. The Leafs Convo, done for 2023. We'll be seeing you in 2024 real soon. Have a great day, guys.